Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Hey, as Connecticut's recreational cannabis market continues to flourish and the date for legal homegrown cannabis approaches, the award-winning For the People hit the floor at the Mohegan Sun Convention Center to chat with the organizer and a number of vendors at the recent Expo Canna, the Connecticut Cannabis Expo. We wanted to learn more about cannabis pharmacology, obtaining a medical cannabis card, cannabis testing, lighting, its CBG component, and how folks are tying cannabis consumption into community building activities. So sit back and get ready to roll along with us as we explore Expo Canna. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. On Sunday, May 21st, you're invited to join the members and supporters of Iota Chi Sigma chapter of Sigma Gamma Rho to walk a mile in his shoes, a walk for Black men's mental health. The event is happening at Seaside Park in Bridgeport and kicks off at 1 p.m. Participants are asked to bring donations of school supplies that will be distributed to students in the community. Show up if you can and pre-register if you'd like by emailing icsantibas@gmail.com. That's the letter icsantibas@gmail.com or visit the Iota Chi Sigma Chapter site on Facebook. So before we hit the floor at Expo Canna at Mohegan Sun, we're going to talk to the guy who makes it happen. Wes Jenks is on the line with us, getting ready to set us off into the expo. Wes, great to meet you, and thanks for inviting us today up to Mohegan Sun. How did this whole thing get started for you?
Wow, well, let's see. It started when I was 15, and I became an advocate for cannabis ever since. But it started my family, Jenks Productions, has had a trade show producing company since the early 80s. And when I started working for the business about 13 years ago, I said, when the time's right here in New England, I want to be the first person to produce some cannabis expos in this region. And it took a long time. You know, it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was very difficult to find facilities that were open to hosting an event. So we did our first event in Springfield in 2019 at the Mass Mutual Center, and then Mohegan Sun was the first facility in the state of Connecticut that would entertain doing a cannabis event. So it was a long process. I would say probably over 6 years of planning and trying to find a facility and waiting for the market to be right to host an event that would be successful. So that's the background story.
Well, you hit at the best possible time, just weeks after legal adult access became available here in Connecticut. And it's great to see how many different Connecticut vendors that you're featuring there, or vendors who serve Connecticut. How do you go about getting involved? Because you're planning expos like this around the country in the future, right?
That is correct. You know, it's a lot of it's dictated on the market. You know, Connecticut, when we did the show the first year in 2022, you know, there was only 15 dispensaries, I think, in the state. So the market was kind of narrow other than the ancillary companies. And this year was still difficult because, you know, all the people that got licenses, I just found out actually recently that they actually can't legally advertise their businesses yet until they get up and running. So we were really, our vendor base to draw from is existing licensees and then the ancillary companies involved. And, you know, we had most of the companies were regional. We did have some national companies, and a lot of the dispensaries are operating in multiple states throughout the country now. So you're just trying to give the attendees, both business and the consumer, a broad view of what's going on here in the state of Connecticut.
So I hate to use the cliche of homegrown, but there's a ton of local vendors on here. It's great that you are able to kind of mobilize such a large group of businesses that are based right here in Connecticut. If there are any plans for future expos within the state, how do people learn about getting their businesses to be part of Expo Canada?
So the easiest way to reach us is through the website. It's xpocann.com. It's got a list of the Connecticut event and our other events that we're planning. And we're actually based out of Connecticut, so we're local to Connecticut, and we really kind of wanted to highlight Connecticut and the broader region. So the best way to learn about what we're doing is to go on the website and obviously come and attend and vend. And this year we had a cannabis competition, which was the first one that was done in Connecticut. So there was a lot of excitement around that. And for those that don't know, July 1st, anyone 21 and over can legally grow. So I'm hoping next year that we'll get more, you know, public individuals, backyard growers, closet warriors that can enter the competition and compete against licensed growers and see if what they're doing is competitive.
Well, we mentioned before we went on the air, Corey Fink from Focus Seeds, who was a special guest of ours when we did our program at the NOFA Winter Conference. So there is some cross-pollination across agricultural specialties and organizations. And it was great to make your acquaintance as a result of meeting him and featuring him on our program. So I just wanted to wish you the best of luck as we go forward, and I'm going to head out onto the trade floor at Mohegan Sun and meet some of the vendors here at Expo Canada 2023. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, and hopefully those that didn't get to come this year, we'll see you in 2024 at the Mohegan Sun.
Well, it is a understandably festive atmosphere here at Expo Canada at Mohegan Sun. And when you talk about recreational and medical marijuana here in Connecticut, if you're not doing it all yourself, then you're probably doing it for business. And if you're doing it for business, one of the people you might want to get to know is one of the vendors here today, Richard Hunter. He's a CPA, and he's with Markham Accountants and Advisors. So, Richard, great to meet you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
So, at what point did you and your company identify the fact that Connecticut was poised to enter into the legal cannabis market for recreational use, and decide that that was going to be a thing for Markham Accountants?
Yeah, so Markham is kind of a nationwide brand, as well as having operations in Canada. We've jumped into cannabis right when it became legalized. I mean, been watching Connecticut kind of grow and figure out its laws through the emerging service social group and kind of construct all its laws to help people, you know, emerge and apply for licenses. And we just see it's a huge opportunity within Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. It's just a kind of great spot for us to be.
So what clients have come to you, or who are the kind of clients you want to attract to advise?
That's a great question. It's a big breadth. We do publicly traded companies to, you know, mom and pop dispensaries that are looking to outsource their bookkeeping. You know, we do tax work. It's a very big tax compliant industry. You know, you have to be Section 280E is a really big one that companies need to make sure that they're dealing with. And so by bringing that technical expertise, we can really help the companies kind of grow and keep on achieving that next level. Because everyone here is at the very infancy level, and we really want to be a part of you and get you to grow and to be a much, much bigger company.
So even a mom and pop or a small operation is quite an investment, isn't it?
It is, especially with the amount of regulation that goes into it. And as part of that, investment, you're usually trying to raise capital via through banks or with people that you know, and they really want to make sure that the financial statements that you're providing are good and then reliable, and they can kind of make those business decisions based on them. And then that's really where you need some expertise to kind of help you through keeping compliant with tax laws, helping you figure out your next steps, putting together business plans. It's all stuff here at Marcum we can help you with.
So they literally would come to somebody like you if they're even exploring the idea of getting into the business?
I definitely would. It's a lot of work, and there's some good presentations going on today about raising capital, and I encourage anyone to go and listen to those. But it's a very cash upfront heavy business. There's a lot of great vendors here that are selling security, all the different things that you need to be thinking about within it. And so how do you get people that to invest in you? You kind of have to have a good business plan. We can add all sorts of different things upstream to kind of help make that business plan look a lot more professional.
I think the thing that average people that may not be invested or even interested in the legal or medical cannabis industry keep hearing is it's still an issue with banking and money handling, and it's a heavy cash business because of the federal state kind of separation. Is that a major issue in the scope of what your advice is to clients?
It definitely is a big challenge. Even certain things are trying to just get real estate property to have it. Some people still have that negative stigma on the cannabis industry. You know, you really have to get down here and see other people. Everyone's very business oriented, very focused. And so trying to change those misconceptions is a big part of what we're trying to do as well. You know, it just is cash strapped because banks are limited to who they want to deal with. And you can see the ball rolling, and we're hoping it's going to be there. It's not time to jump in when it's late, right? We've been here since day one. We want to see people grow. And we want to keep helping people push forward.
From your perspective, kind of, you know, on the sidelines of the regulatory aspect of it, or an advisor from the sidelines, so to speak, how do you see the major national players stacking up against, like, the social equity candidates and the individual type mom and pop type growers? Is it is the state doing a pretty good job in trying to keep the balance, or does that even relate?
I think everyone meant well. How well it actually shook out is, I'm sure I'm not the only one that was a little disappointed. It's hard because it's capital invested to try to tell someone to go put a second mortgage on their house to try to raise it enough. So of course you're going to look for outside investors, and that happens to be a lot of big companies. That's not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing, but it's just the fact of the matter, the way it all kind of shook out.
Well, the biggest players have their own accounting departments, whereas it seems like your type of situation is probably much more suited to smaller regional, state, or local operations, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, we service all the way through top to small. And so one of the biggest ones I actually serve right now is TerrAscend, and they're a very big one. So everyone kind of needs this advice. It's a very niche focused market.
Yeah.
Understanding where the market's kind of directing. So whether you're big or small, we can add value, and that's what we try to do.
Excellent. Great to meet you, Richard Hunter, CPA, with Marcum Accountants and Advisors, and he's out of New Haven.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, as we are wandering around here at the Cannabis Expo, we have come across Sean McGill. He's representing the CBG Gurus, and he's also going to be doing a talk on this conference. So, Sean, great to meet you.
Yeah, hey, happy to be here.
So, tell me a little bit about CBG Gurus. Is this your discovery?
Yeah, so me and my high school longtime best friend, Jacob Honig, are the co-owners of this company, the CBG Gurus, and we are a certified organic hemp farm located in Harwinton, Connecticut, So we're vertically integrated. We grow all of the hemp on site in Harwinton, and then we also do ice water extraction on our products, and we do a lot of the infusions and in-house edible production as well.
So Connecticut's been really hot on hemp over the past few years. I mean, it's been kind of like a national leader to some extent, hasn't it?
Yes and no. The hemp production within the state definitely has decreased over the past couple of years. And I think that's largely due to the falling prices of wholesale CBD. So a lot of people have actually decided to stop growing hemp. So while there was around 75 licensed hemp farms in the state, I think definitely not nearly that many actually produced hemp last year. And I was told there was only just over 12 acres of hemp grown in the entire state last season. So
wow. I got such a different impression as it was ramping up, that it was going to be a like replacing tobacco as the Connecticut crop of choice.
Right, yeah. And I think there was a lot of farmers that had similar, you know, ideas and goals. But at the end of the day, you know, moving your crop is the most important part of, you know, farming.
And so, paying the bills.
Right, exactly. So if you have, you know, a wholesaler who's guaranteed to buy all your acreage of tobacco, then maybe it, like, actually does make a little bit more sense to stick with that crop as opposed to growing hemp. Yeah, but CT definitely has some valuable, very rich soil, so we can produce some really great crops here in the ground for sure.
So tell me more about what the CBD Gurus does and how you can provide resources to consumers here in Connecticut.
Definitely. So yeah, as the CBG Gurus, we, you know, do emphasize the use of CBG, and we're trying to kind of bring that to light in people's minds. So we like to say CBG is more like the sativa product for hemp, similar to CBD in that it's, you know, non-intoxicating, but we prefer CBG for daytime use because it has a little bit more of, as we like to say, an aware, uplifting, focus type effect. So we're just here really to, you know, produce the highest quality cannabis that we can in a sustainable, regenerative manner and educate, you know, consumers as much as possible about cannabis and all of the inherent, you know, things that are related to the industry, whether it be extraction or growing or, you know, just the differences of all the cannabinoids. So
now, so would somebody buy CBG Gurus products at the dispensary or direct?
So that is one of our big goals, and the state is actually in the process of writing a bill, hopefully, to allow hemp products into dispensaries. And that is one of our big goals because we like to consume our hemp alongside our marijuana whenever we use cannabis. You know, of course, the hemp can be consumed by itself. So that is one of our big goals, is to get into the dispensaries and form more key wholesale relationships. But right now, we are really just emphasizing forming as many relationships with consumers as we can. So we go to a lot of events like this Expo Canna that we're at, and we really just try to talk to as many people as possible because I'm big on education and, yeah, just trying to make people understand all the complexities that is the cannabis plant.
So consumers go directly to you for the products that you produce?
Yeah, largely we recommend ordering off of our website because then we can ship it right to your mailbox. So yeah, thecbggurus.com is our website, and yeah, you can place an order for shipping to all 50 states there.
And for folks who come to you, what are the types of products that you produce and how do they help people?
So again, we recommend CBG more for daytime use, but similar to CBD, it is great for things like inflammation and anxiety. Those probably are the two things that the CBG gets used for the most, but we recommend the CBG for daytime inflammation and anxiety management because it kind of has that uplifting component associated with it, as compared to CBD, which most people find more relaxing. And while you might want to fight your inflammation or anxiety during the daytime, maybe you don't want to be super relaxed. So the CBG allows me to be clear-headed and focused, you know, while staying energized and being productive.
And folks can come to you because it's coming right out of the ground and right through the hands of experts right here in Connecticut. And you guys are up in southern Litchfield County.
Right, yep. Located right in Harwinton and Litchfield County. And yeah, I think that is one of the most valuable things, especially as a Connecticut consumer. I'm a big advocate of know your farmer, so I think you should know your cannabis farmer and you should know your food farmer. It's all kind of one and the same to me. So I think that is a lot of value that we bring, and the fact that it is, you know, seed to table, basically. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's great to meet another farmer, Sean McGill, with the CBG Gurus in Harwinton, Connecticut. TheCBGGurus.com is their website. Get to know Sean and his partners, and hopefully his products may be helpful or beneficial to you, Sean. Great to meet you. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Happy to be here. Always happy to provide the information, and look forward to connecting with many more people into the future.
Continuing our walk through Expo Canna here, we have found Dr. Megan Dobro, Megan Dobro, PhD. She is the CEO and founder of Safetiva Cannabis Testing Labs. And Megan, I guess where you probably do a lot of work with large growers and things, testing of cannabis is becoming as important for personal growers now as July looms and people are able to legally keep their six adult and six infant plants in their own homes. First of all, tell us a little bit about the discovery of this avenue for your career.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I don't know how much time do we have. So I'm from academia. I'm a molecular biologist by background, and we're in Massachusetts, so we're just over the border in Westfield, Mass. And there's always been a big need for testing labs, and accurate labs that have really fast turnaround times are in high demand. And so we believe everyone has a right to know what's in their product, from the big commercial licensees to the craft growers to the home growers and consumers and patients as well. So we do the cannabinoid and terpene profiles, as well as all of the safety screens for heavy metals and pesticides and microbial contaminants, making sure it's safe.
Well, while there may be some folks affiliated with the big operators listening, mostly I think we're talking to like the craft growers and eventual legal home growers. So let's talk a little bit about how people can discover you and why they should.
Absolutely. So we give a certificate of analysis when you test with us that shows the full profile, and it's really nice when you're gifting your product to family and friends to show the certificate of exactly what's in there. It makes people feel good to know that it's been tested. So we need about a gram of material to do cannabinoid testing, half a gram for terpenes. So they would package it up in a Ziploc bag or an airtight container, bring it to us in Westfield, Mass. I should say all product is supposed to originate in Massachusetts for our lab, and we have a sheet at our intake window that has a checkbox that you would check that says the product originated in Massachusetts. And then we get the certificate of analysis to you next day or within 2 days with all of your results. It's $50 for all the cannabinoids. It's $25 for terpenes.
And so are you sort of like licensed to and restricted to only folks in Massachusetts?
For products that contain THC, that's right.
Okay. So I imagine there are similar businesses, or you're probably the best one to tell me. Are there testing businesses that are all exclusively state specific, or are there labs now that are at the point where they're able to be open to a wide range of consumers no matter where they are?
So until cannabis is federally legal, it's not supposed to cross state lines. And so all cannabis produced needs to be tested within the state it was produced in. Unless it doesn't contain THC and it's, you know, a hemp product or a CBD product, which all labs can test for, if they're licensed, can do that across state lines.
Yeah. Well, when people are considering getting their products tested, is there anything that they need to know in terms of, you know, preparing it or packaging it that's just of general knowledge for wherever they're doing it?
It depends on what tests they're looking for. So for cannabinoids, they probably want to know an unbiased sample, an average bud, how potent is that average bud. So you should pick a bud from the center of your plot and then from in the middle of the vertical growth. So at the top of the plant, it's the most potent. At the bottom, it's the least potent. So if you want an average, take something in the middle. We always homogenize or grind up the material we get. So if you want to pick from a few different spots, we can grind it up, and then that will be an average of multiple samples for cannabinoids. For the safety screens, just make sure you're not contaminating it by the packaging you're using or in transport. So if you're looking for a bacterial test, don't package it in something that's not sterile, because you might contaminate the sample that way.
And aside from the cannabinoids, you also test for what?
So we test for terpenes, pesticides, residual solvents from manufactured material, mycotoxins, all the microbial screens. We also do a virus testing, so to make sure your plant is healthy and doesn't have one of the common cannabis viruses, we do a virus testing as well.
And you said the turnaround time is really kind of your forte?
That's our thing. We're really fast. We're the fastest lab in Massachusetts. We usually get results back next day, but the two-day turnaround is our standard service. It's not an extra cost to rush it. We're just really fast.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, great education. Sorry, our Connecticut audience can't use you, but fingers crossed. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
But still, great information this morning.
Yeah.
Megan Dobro. Dr. Megan Dobro is CEO and founder of Safetiva Cannabis Testing Labs in Massachusetts. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Well, you heard us talking about him last week on the award-winning For the People, and now we're going to tell you, coming up on July 15th, the Annie C. Courtney Foundation and the Family Focused Partnership Community Collaborative are hosting the 5th Annual Chalk Walk, a free family event from 10 to 2 at Lake Kenosha Park in Danbury. Attendees will stroll through the Emotional Foster Care Awareness Walk near the lake, while kids enjoy the free blow-up slide and bounce house, face painting, and other fun activities and games. Attendees who register upon arrival will participate in a scavenger hunt with a chance to win lots of free raffle prizes, including gift cards. The rain date for this event is July 29th, and if you'd like more information and to register, you can just go to annic.org, that's annic.org/chalkwalk.
Well, we are here at Mohegan Sun at the Cannabis Expo, and we're going to help you understand a little bit more about medical marijuana certification. And appropriately, we are here with Gail Roussel, and she is with Medical Marijuana Certification of Connecticut. So, Gail, the name apparently says it all. Thanks for being here. So, for those out there who think they may have a medical condition that qualifies them, or they have a medical condition that really bothers them. It hurts, it keeps them up night, it stresses them out. or one of myriad other concerns. If they called you, what is the process to get involved and qualified?
So for most patients, I would check them into my database and I can facilitate medical records transfer to see if they actually do have a qualifying condition. There's 30-something conditions that the state recognizes. Most recently, the state of Connecticut added a chronic pain diagnosis, which really does encompass a lot of patients. So I would check the medical records to make sure that the patient does actually have a qualifying condition, and then I would set them up in the state's database on site today and get them registered with the state.
And how does that process differ from if they called you and you saw them as, say, you're an APRN?
Yes.
What is your other certification?
Acute geriatric critical care, actually.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. So if somebody was referred to you through their primary physician, or they heard about you and reached out to you at your office, is the process somewhat different in that respect?
It's essentially the same. Oftentimes, if a provider refers to me, they will send me the medical records. They'll fax them to me, or the patient will fax them to me. So it's essentially the same. As long as I have medical records, I can, you know, and it's a qualifying condition, I can, you know, get that patient in the database the same day, and I can, you know, get them registered with the state. And then once they're registered, they get an email from the state of Connecticut, which they'd create an account through the state and basically complete the registration process by uploading proof of residency for Connecticut, photo ID, which typically is a driver's license, and then the state fee of $100.
And you'll have a consultation with them and help them go through the process to the extent that you can yourself. At that point, is there any connection or stickiness to you from that patient? Do they continue to potentially see you as a medical consultant?
So basically, during the process, the registration process, I will talk to the patient about their symptoms. I actually have patient forms that a patient can fill out online, and it automatically pulls to the medical record to my chart for the patient, and I would go over and talk about the symptoms that they have. As far as recommendations, it's a pharmacist at their dispensary of choice who actually makes recommendations for products. A patient is more than welcome to reach out to me if they have questions throughout the year. My software sends reminders 2 weeks before the card is due to expire, reminding patients that, you know, it's time to renew. And they can certainly renew through me because I will have their medical records on file. And yeah, it's a pretty easy process, actually.
And can you talk about the potential amount somebody might need to budget or think about spending to get from point A to point B, or is that really vary person to person?
It varies very much because basically the consult with the pharmacist will talk about the ways the patient wants to ingest the marijuana. Some patients may choose to smoke or vape. Other patients may want to use tinctures or pills. It varies in price, and all the products really do vary in price. It's very patient specific.
Is the cost to get to the point where the card is qualified for and delivered fairly normal, or does that also vary greatly?
I have found that the people that do certifications, the price varies a lot, actually. Some people charge up to $250 to do a certification. Some people charge about the same thing that I charge.
But once somebody gets to the point where they're in the state system, then the price at the state level is the same?
Yes. Yes, the same. $100? So the state fee is $100, yes.
I see. Okay, great. Anything else that people may need to know? I mean, do you find that people come to you more often thinking they won't qualify?
Yes, I think a lot of people are very surprised at the inclusive list that Connecticut does have. And like I said, the chronic pain actually encompasses a lot of patients who otherwise would not have qualified.
Excellent. Well, we thank you for all that information, Gail Roussel, is with the Medical Marijuana Certification of Connecticut. And if you'd like to reach her, do you have a website?
I do. It's MMJ at MMJCERTCT.com.
So MMJCERTCT.com. Gail, thank you so much for the information.
Thank you.
Well, we are here at ExpoCano with Patrick Carroll, and he is with Vivid?
Vivid.
Two V's. Oh, yeah, I see. So it's Vivid in Portland, Connecticut. And we're here visiting with Patrick today because we know a lot of folks are going to be gearing up to maybe do some growing at home after the legal date of July 1st, 2023 arrives. And one of the most important things they need to know about, probably if they're growing indoors, is making sure they're not doing damage to or defeating the purpose because they don't have the right lighting.
Exactly.
And that's where Pat comes in and I stop talking. So yeah. Pat, family business?
So we started as a family business. We've been trying to get into this space for a long time. Until we found a proper partner, we didn't make the move, but now we have. So this is where we're at, and we have a fully modular system that, depending on the size of your grow, whether it be, you know, a 2x4 closet or it's a 100,000 square foot facility, we're fully modular to try and give you the needs that you want. We're a full service company. We provide full photometric drawings. So basically, you give us the layout of your setup, and we'll tell you exactly what you need. We're not trying to oversell you on some BS or anything like that, but that's what we do. So yeah, we have the technology. We have 5 different spectrums available. For cannabis specifically, we offer only one, or we recommend only one of our spectrums. However, the world is your oyster. We give you basically an erector set to figure out your grow itself.
So when people are starting, it's not just about like putting the seed in the planter and sticking it in the window, because I guess that doesn't really make the best end result.
No, 100%. And that's what 90% of the manufacturers on the market for lighting are trying to sell you a 1,000-watt equivalent for an HPS. For 90% of what people are doing in their own homes, that doesn't make sense. And that's why we offer you a modular solution to try and figure out exactly what works for you. We offer 5 different spectrums of light. Cannabis specifically, we only recommend one technically, but if you're growing tomatoes, cucumbers, microgreens, we have all those in the bed as well.
So you are by far not exclusive to the cannabis industry or growers?
Oh, no. Honestly, our main goal is to hit the vertical growing market in America, which is actually very small compared to Canada and Europe. And so we're a Swedish-based company, and that's where we started. And it's funny talking to our Swedish counterpart, because he's like, wait, you need these cannabis lights? We're like, yes, that's what the American market is. So it's about adjusting and adapting. But again, the beautiful thing of what we do is that everything is modular, so it's build it to as you need.
So, of course, educating people about the product that Vivid is able to provide them is important. But what are a few of the things that people need to know in general about lighting? Because, like I said, it's not just about putting a seed in the ground and putting it on your windowsill.
Of course. When you're doing indoor agriculture, right, efficiency is the number one thing we need to worry about. Because that's the number one, right? But on top of that, it's picturing what the crop that you're growing. So again, so right now we're at the Indoor Cannabis Conference, right? We only offer one spectrum for cannabis. However, like I said, we offer five different spectrums. It's all dependent on if you're growing microgreens, if you're growing tomato, cucumbers. Like, we're a fully modular system. So depending on the way that you build your space out, that's how we do it.
So people can get an idea not just of what you sell, but a little bit about what they're going to need in terms of the scope of the system. By visiting your website?
Yeah, so visit our website that has all of our information. We try not to do too many printouts and whatnot, but when it comes down to it, we're trying to give you the most efficient solution possible. We're not trying to sell you a one-size-fits-all, you know, garbage fixture. We're trying to grow with you and learn what you're trying to do. So that's why we need to have a conversation and figure out, okay, what's your crop? What are you growing? How big is it? What's your spacing? We do full photometric drawings and whatnot. But the whole thing is, we're not trying to sell you a one-size-fits-all product. We're trying to sell you a full-service solution that gets you done.
Very good. So it's WIVID.com?
Yeah. It's
in Connecticut. Thanks, Pat.
Yep. No. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Well, it would be kind of an incomplete process to talk to the medical advisors without talking to the pharmaceutical advisors and educators. And Uzma Zakir, a registered pharmacist, is one of them. She's the director of outreach for the Botanist Connecticut. And Uzma, great to meet you.
Hi, it's nice to meet you as well.
So tell me a little bit about what brings you here today to Expo Canada.
So I am representing three dispensaries in Connecticut, the Botanist Danbury, the Botanist Montville, and Prime Wellness in South Windsor. And really our goal is to educate as many people as we can that cannabis is medicine. We have a great medical program here in Connecticut, and we offer extensive services to educate our patients and support our patients on their brave journey using cannabis as their medication.
So you're not just the director of outreach. When we first were talking off mic, there was quite a list of qualifications and interesting, spectrum of your career.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So I'm a traditionally trained pharmacist. I've been doing practicing with medical marijuana since 2015. So I've treated hundreds, if not thousands, of patients for all different types of health conditions, whether it's getting off of opioids or getting off of other medications, treating their depression and anxiety that may be coming along with their PTSD symptoms, things like MS, ALS, and then even ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. So medical marijuana works for so many different disease states because of what's called the endocannabinoid system that's in all of our bodies. So I really like to educate people. So I'm a cannabis educator, understanding what makes cannabis medicine, explaining how to use the product so you can really unlock the best version of yourself. And so now I am serving as the director of outreach, where I host a monthly webinar series. And talking about different disease states and symptoms and how best to use cannabis to treat that. And then also using self-care practices.
So what was interesting to me is usually when the microphone comes out, like, people gather around. But here today, there were a number of folks representing vendors who didn't want to go on the radio because they either didn't want someone in their world of employment or family to hear them, and that they were involved in one of these many vendors. But there is still a substantial stigma against marijuana and cannabis, I guess, because even though it's been legalized for adult consumption, is going to become legal to grow by private citizens in their home on July 1st, and has been serving medical patients, as you know, for many more years than that. What are a couple of the most important things you'd want people to know who are diehard anti-cannabis everything?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so thank you for that question. It's been a lot of hard work for a lot of us over the years to try to remove that stigma, right? And what I want patients, what people to know who are against cannabis is that, all right, I think the best answer is to let's understand what makes cannabis medicine. So what makes cannabis medicine, first of all, are the molecular components to the cannabis plant that fit into our cells' receptors, called cannabinoid 1 and 2 receptors, or interact with those receptors to create physiological change. And they discovered the cannabinoid receptors, and they also discovered natural cannabinoids. So molecules like THC and CBD that work with our receptors, your human body makes its own version of that from the time that we're in our mother's womb. And so we have natural cannabinoids. They're called anandamide and 2-AG. And they put all of these pieces together and came up with what's called the endocannabinoid system. Just like we have a cardiovascular system, we have an endocannabinoid system. And that endocannabinoid system plays a part in almost every physiological function in the human body. There's well over 20,000 studies. You can look on PubMed and Google Scholar on cannabinoids, endogenous cannabinoids, in the human endocannabinoid system. And really the purpose is to involve any of the physiological functions that are off balance to bring it back to balance. Otherwise, it leaves it alone. That's why it's so different from pharmaceuticals. So if you have, if you are in a fight or flight anxiety attack, your endocannabinoid system will kick into gear to bring you back to baseline. Sometimes our endocannabinoid systems, we may have a low endocannabinoid tone, it may not be functioning well, or we have different reasons, we have too much inflammation perhaps. And then supplementing the endocannabinoid system helps bring your body back to balance. And so it is now being researched as true medicine and true science. You have pharmaceutical companies that are really looking at different types of synthetic compounds that are going to manipulate those receptors in the endocannabinoid system. This is going to be everywhere. It's going to be in Western medicine, and it's already here now. People like me are in my organization. We're really treating this as a true medicine to bring people relief. I think that some people find it offensive that people may be using it for its psychoactive benefit, and that's their choice. The judgment, I feel like we need to lose the idea of judging one another for how we want to medicate ourselves, using it safely and within parameters of the research that's out there.
So the fact that this has been around and utilized as a medicine for the ages is not silly propaganda to try to legitimize pot smoking.
No, those are absolutely facts. That's facts, right? They found it 3,500 BCE in China. In medieval times in the Islamic world, it was used as medication for inflammation, for fever, for rheumatoid issues. So I think that it's how it's presented that some people find offense to it. But I think that I'm about, you know, freedom of, like, your character. But so really it's about educating people about the science behind it. We have so many patients in the program who come and tell us, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to vape, and I never want to feel high. And they can get so much benefit still from this plant without chasing after that euphoria or that psychoactive effect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's so many options. And there's pharmacists, there's doctors, there's APRNs who are treating this as real medicine.
Okay. So as we wrap up here, since you're a pharmacist and uniquely qualified to answer this question, one of the most frequently asked things that I hear people talking about is the difference between CBD and THC, which is something that is bountiful here today at Expo Canna.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, what do people need to know about the difference between those two or how they work together?
Right. So I was talking about the cannabinoids. So that's what makes cannabis medicine. There's over 100 phytocannabinoids to the cannabis plant. THC is the most prominent, and it's also the only one to give that psychoactive or high feeling. And so the other 100 cannabinoids do not give that high feeling, but you do feel a sense of wellness and calm and grounding. So CBD is the second most prominent chemical component to the plant. It has a different structure than THC. It does not fit into your body's cannabinoid receptors. It's a powerful antioxidant. It works on a multitude of receptors, again, to bring that physiological function back to balance. And so it has a nice sense of wellness and calming without the euphoria or the dysphoria. And that's the main, those are the main differences between CBD and THC.
Very good. Great questions answered here today by the person who's well qualified to do it, the Director of Outreach for the Botanist Connecticut, Luzma Zakir, a registered pharmacist. And where do people go to learn more about the organization you represent online?
So you can visit us at shopbotanist.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, thebotanist.ct.
Thank you, Luzma.
Thank you so much.
From Expo Cana here at the Mohegan Sun Casino, we are pleased to meet Jennifer Ann Gerhauser, and she is with an organization called Burn and Learn, B-U-R-N-N-L-E-A-R-N, and I'm sure that's the website too, right? burnandlearn.com. So, Jennifer Ann, what brings you here today to the Expo?
I'm just working here with the ministry, trying to help out.
And so I see on your shirt, it is a leaf ministry. What does that mean?
We are a public member association that just believes in spiritual health and cannabis and the use of the plants that grow on this planet to heal.
So what are some of the things that you do at Burn and Learn?
We do all sorts of educational classes. We have fun classes, spiritual guided classes. We also have different types of cooking classes and exciting classes, even something like glass blowing.
Oh, wow. So who comes to you? How does how do you draw your members from?
Generally, we're word of mouth, comfortability. A lot of people come to us seeking a safe haven to smoke, trying to find their community members that share the same love for cannabis.
So, sort of a component of what like a hookah lounge is, but something like much bigger and with a lot more resources and
yes.
instruction and information, like just
yes.
the ability to come and smoke in a non-stigmatized environment is just one small piece of what Burn and Learn is.
Yes, it's a very small piece. It's not just the smoking. It's the building the community. It's doing charitable events, community projects. We do a lot of the educational classes to help people learn how to use this medicine correctly. We have fun times as long as support groups. So we're offering different types of come join. We have a woman's night on Wednesday. Something as simple as talking about our experiences, doing some crafting, doing community projects, cleanups, donations to different local organizations.
So how does the membership aspect of it work?
The membership aspect is basically you come in, you sign up saying that you have the same beliefs as us, and we are working on a membership program that's going to be a little more elaborated. That's very soon to come. We're very excited about it. Right now, it's just coming, signing up for the day, and enjoying that atmosphere.
Do you have any major events that are coming up where you're going to be represented in on the coastline area or anywhere else in Connecticut, say in like May or June?
Not yet. We are doing a lot of fun things, working on a lot of fun things in the future, but right now we were mainly focused on the expo.
Oh, okay. So people could learn more about you and what you offer and what you guys do by just going to your website.
Yes.
And that once again is burnandlearn.com.
It's ct.com.
burnandlearnct.com. Very good. Thank you very much. Jennifer Ann Gerhauser here at the Expo Cannaba with the Burn and Learn CT. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
B
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.